the goal has to always be within sight. Somebody always has to know exactly what it is. And you still have to take what's in front of you and you cannot let it consume you. But what I see most people do is when the environment around them gets chaotic, the guiding light disappears. The purpose, the principle, the mission, the objective, it disappears for them. And they don't really recognize what is supposed to help them through the chaos of the environment that's directly in front of them. They just see the chaos and then they get consumed by everything. They get a whirlwind of everything that's going around them and they lose their fucking shit.
My name is Johnny L. Sasser, and I am a former Special Operations U.S. Army Ranger and Tactical Commander to the U.S. Ambassador's Protective Detail. I have seen the struggle even the most hardened men have faced when they combat their inner demons, and I am here to shine a light on those struggles to show that no man is exempt from adversity and internal pain. Men from all walks of life share their stories of hardship, darkness, and perseverance so that every man knows that whatever he is going through, he is not alone. Evolution for Men begins now.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Art of Masculinity. I wrote an article the other day on LinkedIn, and this is about leadership. I'm very passionate about leadership. It's been the pedigree of my life since I was 17 years old. And actually before that, right? I started at a young age being pretty good at soccer and being recognized as a leader on the field. And that was one of the things that was kind of put on me in my younger years. But then it kind of followed me around as I got older and was able to follow the trajectory of being a leader in everywhere that I've gone. I say that because I'm passionate about it. And good leaders are very hard to find. And just because I was placed in leadership positions didn't mean I was a good leader. What made me a good leader was that I studied the craft and I studied the philosophies behind it. And that was where the difference, that is where the difference is between good and poor leaders. Like, what's the extracurricular activities you're doing to improve your leadership skills? Now, all of this is to say that when we talk about leadership, most people are not really following any of the philosophies to a lot of extent. They're not following any of the philosophies that are kind of out there because at the end of almost all of their, ambitions is something that's self-serving, right? Like, what can I get? Now, whether it's more money, whether it's more power, whatever it is, they're seeking something that is self-serving to be a leader. But what I've come to realize, and this is, it's something that you can kind of find throughout history with some leaders that we've had, to name a few in this nation, one like George Washington, but on a national level, right, as representatives before our entire political system became corrupt. But you had leaders that actually weren't necessarily self-serving. In fact, they didn't want the position of a leader within the political system because for numerous reasons, partly, again, I wrote in this leadership article on LinkedIn, was George Washington was rumored to have not wanted the position of presidency or the president due to his age, due to his condition after the war and stuff like that. So a lot of different things came up, but he reluctantly took that position so that we could have the country that we have nowadays, right? Like, he took up the beginning because the nation needed a strong leader at that time, especially in its infancy and coming out of the Revolutionary War. So I say all of this to say leadership is an important part to me, an important part to the way we live today, and it's an important part to society. Leaders are the kind of the directional figures for an overall mission, objective, goal, whatever you want to call it, for your business, for your corporation, for a country, for your household. Like, there's got to be standing principles that you have. And when you have those standing principles, the leader in that place, whether for good or for bad, they could be a real shit leader too. I mean, Custer was a leader, and I talk about this, and he was terrible, right? Made poor decisions and didn't adapt very well to his environment. And was overconfident in his abilities and his assessment of the enemy. So anyways, all of that to say that leaders are necessary for every environment, from household to battlefield to boardroom. And in that, a leader is designed to be that guiding member to follow the principles in which whatever unit he or she is in charge of, they're supposed to follow that. That principle is supposed to be a guiding light for them, right? So when chaos is all around them, they're the ones that are kind of scooping everybody up, scooping the team up and saying, hey, I get it. Shit's kind of chaotic right now, but like, we need to go to, we need to focus on this guiding light in every action that we do, even if it's one tiny step at a time. The philosophy is a very good one, even for your daily life. But again, even as people that don't think they're leaders, you're a leader for your daily life. So if you're a shit leader, your life probably sucks right now, right? Like if you suck at leading and you're not taking it seriously and you're not looking to educate yourself on it, life might suck right now for you. It might be very mundane. It might be very mediocre. It might be very average. Okay. I understand that. And we're not all home run hitters all the time, right? And for those people that are actually embracing leadership right now and trying to do that extracurricular development in leadership, they're probably thriving a lot more or on the precipice of thriving, right? You still have to go through hardships as a leader, but you're probably on the precipice. Now, I say all this because one of the key things that leaders must have, and this has become very apparent in my entire life, specifically, most importantly, in special operations and also in protection. But even recently, it's coming up in my life and entrepreneurship quite a bit. The one leadership skill that cannot be overlooked, but is not necessarily talked about a ton, is adaptability. And the reason why adaptability, I believe personally, is not talked about a lot is because even the people teaching aren't very adaptable. Even the people that are trying to teach the philosophy of leadership aren't extremely adaptable. And the reason why adaptability is a paramount key for leadership is because of the fact that when you have a guiding purpose or a guiding principle, when you are the leader to bring everybody towards that, you have to wade through multiple environments that are always changing between you and the finish line. And a leader has to be able to see that light while also assessing the environment in front of them and taking that information, synthesizing it, and breaking it down to where it's going to be overcome while you're still focused on the main goal. That means that the goal has to always be within sight. Somebody always has to know exactly what it is. And you still have to take what's in front of you and you cannot let it consume you. But what I see most people do is when the environment around them gets chaotic, the guiding light disappears. The purpose, the principle, the mission, the objective, it disappears for them. And they don't really recognize what is supposed to help them through the chaos of the environment that's directly in front of them. They just see the chaos and then they get consumed by everything. They get a whirlwind of everything that's going around them and they lose their fucking shit. Whether they lose their capacity to make quality decisions or whether they lose their shit emotionally, they lose their shit. And the problem that follows is that everybody they were leading loses their shit too. And now you have nobody, you have a bunch of, and this goes to the philosophy of you have a sheep and no sheepdog, right? And you have nothing to guide them. So they're just chaos. We have a pig, right? And Lucy, our pig, sometime, I think maybe I've mentioned her on the show here, but Lucy, our pig is adorable. But Lucy is a herd animal. And if a herd animal tries to lead, and this is the philosophy of breeders and this is and trainers and stuff. This is not even me just making this shit up. But if a herd animal tries to lead, it becomes a shit show. Majority of the times they become over aggressive. They don't know how to lead the pack. They're stubborn, they're assholes, and they don't lead well. They don't lead in the correct way. So they endanger the rest of everybody. So things like our pig Lucy, she needs an alpha leader in front of her. Whether that's one of the dogs, whether that's me, she needs a leader of the pack and she will follow super well, right? And this goes for all animals that are herd animals. Now, that being said, this is what happens with humans too. Not that all humans are, you know, herd animals. That's not what we're saying. But in our, you know, societal construct, people have leaders, groups have leaders, and then the people that follow those leaders tend to abdicate the role of trying to lead themselves or other people, and then they become a herd animal. And when people become that long enough, they stop trying to lead and almost don't have the skills to lead, not because they're incapable, but because they don't flex that muscle enough to really have the ability to lead well. So then they become the herd animal. If they end up taking up a leadership position by accident or by proxy to a fact that like the leader is removed for whatever reason, even temporarily, things tend to go haywire. They go chaotic. And in that, there's no leader. And in that becomes a herd mentality where everybody's just doing random things and people are not actually focused on the guiding principles, the mission, or the objective. So to say all of this, when it comes to leadership, if you are not adaptable, you really need to figure out, okay, where is my standing as a leader? Why am I not adaptable? It's a big question to ask. And I can tell you that typically the root of this issue is the fact that leaders that are not adaptable tend to lack confidence in their skills. Sometimes that can be because you've been removed from, you're in maybe a slightly higher position within the team. So you're kind of removed from the hardships or day-to-day grind that you got brought up in. And you kind of forget, again, those muscles, you forget those actions, you forget that knowledge. So you feel super unconfident in your ability to step back into those. And when that happens, a lot of people get this kind of, they get the fraudulent effect. They feel like they're a fraud. They feel like they're not capable of doing the leadership because of the fact that they're not capable of doing the job. And there's a level of respect I have for people that feel that. But there's also a level of questioning that I have for them, which is, why are you not doing the jobs that you are leading and still keeping your skills sharp so that when you are in that leadership position, you feel confident in leading them? That is a big question that I have for people when I hear their level of, you know, poor leadership due to not being confident in their own skills and not being confident in the skills that they're relating to in a leadership capacity for the team that's underneath them. Now, this doesn't say that you need to know every single person's job. Good leaders know when they don't know a job and they become inquisitive. They try to learn some form of understanding about a job that's not their expertise so they can speak the same language as that person and lead them appropriately. And it's not to say that you're any less of a leader when somebody knows more than you in a certain subject. In fact, high quality leaders shouldn't know everything because that means they've wasted way too much time in certain areas and aren't focusing on leading. So you need to know the strengths of your team, but a high quality leader tries to learn enough about something, not in the effort of trying to necessarily perform it if it's not part of their upbringing and expertise that they feel that they've spent years on creating, but so that they can guide it in the correct way so it's supportive of the overall goal. So it's supportive of the mission. So that's where adaptability becomes incredibly, in my personal opinion, one of the most, if not the most, important leadership quality that you can possess. Second to that is understanding that, you know, leaders have a job description. That is 100% a fact. Now, there are nuances to this job description that can be changed for industry and field of work, but there are every leader, every high quality leader. So I would say every leader, yes, but let's face it, a lot of leaders are complete shit. But every high quality leader has a foundation that follows them. And that is they need to be able to make decisions. They need to be able to maintain cohesiveness. They need to be able to maintain collaboration and communication with their team. If they have that cohesiveness, collaboration, communication, and decisiveness, if they have those four components, those four pillars to high quality leadership, you are going to be somebody that people want to follow. You're going to be somebody that can run an organizational culture that is highly connected and is efficient and effective at achieving their goals. You're also going to be able to navigate all of these environments that come up in front of you while being able to hold that guiding light, which is the goals that you're trying to achieve. You're going to be able to maintain and hold that the side of that while you're leading your teams. So understanding that leadership does have a job description. When you're not performing those four pillars, you're going to start to fall apart in certain areas. And you're going to end up really deteriorating the value of the team and the team's level of performance. So think about how you are following those four principles to the job description of leadership. If you are a leader right now, are you being communicative? Are you being collaborative? Are you maintaining cohesion? Are you being decisive? Those are the four things I need you guys to really understand and look to follow. If you can grasp those four things, you as a leader are going to thrive and your teams are going to thrive and your work environment is going to be one in which people enjoy coming to. But you got to start asking your questions of where you sit on the scale of performing those four pillars. If there's an area you need work in, then the second thing is, how are you going to perform the extracurricular activities that help you improve in that area? Are you going to focus on this? People aren't taking leadership serious enough, which is why our society in general, not even just Western culture, but our society in general is falling apart because of it. We don't have people that are seeking leadership under any type of serious thought, consideration, or progress. Leadership is becoming something that people don't really recognize how important it is, and how important it is not just from a business standpoint, but as an individual. You guys have heard me talk about that at length on the show. So that is something that obviously I have to continue to just jam out there, because it's one of the things that when we take it seriously, we can perform far better as a unit, not just as an individual, but as a unit. So the deterioration of leadership is due to our inability to take it seriously, and it's due to our inability to start to practice it, learn about it, and work on it outside of actually being in that position in our quote-unquote job, right? So when we're looking at leadership, being adaptable and focusing on the four pillars of communication, cohesion, collaboration, and decisiveness. If you can hit those four things while also being adaptable, high quality leadership is in your future. That is something that I have seen consistently amongst high quality leaders, is they possess those skills. You just have to make the choice of whether you want to learn them or not. You have to make the choice of whether you're going to take those seriously or just think that you can, you know, mail it in and hope for the best when you step into a leadership position that nobody wants to fucking throw you over and maroon you on an island, right? Like Jack Sparrow. So think about your leadership skills, even in your family unit. Like if this doesn't apply to you at work and it's not something that you're seeking at work, I can almost promise you it's something that you're de facto dealing with at home. And how you lead at home is also going to show up in the way that your kids behave. It's going to show up in the way that you have your relationship with your spouse. It's going to show up in the relationship that you have with yourself. I mean, being a leader, there's no better feeling, to me at least, when you can lead a group of people successfully and you can meet an objective where everybody that's around you is like, damn, we did a fucking great job. Not that that the leader needs the recognition. The team does. The team does a great job. The team did the right things to get where to achieve the outcome that they desired. The family achieved the outcome that they desired, right? There's nothing better than being a leader and having that level of performance on the back end where you're acknowledging the high quality that you have put together through that flexing of the leadership muscle. So take stock in what's going on as a leader in your life. Take stock in how you're performing and evaluate that performance so that you can start to improve your leadership skills and look to start doing the extracurricular activity that improves it. All right, everybody. If you like this episode, please go on Apple iTunes, click 5 stars, share what you like about the episode. It does a great job for us here at the Art of Masculinity. It really helps us to get this message out more and more every single day. Also, if you guys are interested in coming on a Wild Man experience, we have one open right now in Kodiak, Alaska. We have a couple of spots left. It's August 1st through the 6th. Make sure you guys go to the show notes, click the link if you're actually serious about coming, and fill out the application form. When you fill out the application form, I'll take a look at that. And if everything looks like it's a good fit, I'll send you guys a link so we can hop on a call and we'll take a look at seeing if you're fit for the Wildman experience. So we have a couple more spots left for the August event. They are going obviously pretty quickly. We haven't really pushed publicly about this and we've already gotten 4 people locked in. It's a small group of men that I can take there. So it's highly curated. So I cannot guarantee just because you apply, you will get accepted to it. But I would love to take a look at your form and see if it is a good fit for that group. So go ahead, check the show notes and click that link. As always, guys, remember that the world deserves a better caliber of man and it's our obligation to give it to them.